Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, we have Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
Happy Easter Monday, Dr. Paul. How are you?
A new week.
A new week, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we had our Easter at our place, uh-huh. in church and all that. But I guess if you open your eyes, you can see a different version of how you celebrate Easter or defy Easter and really abuse the principle of Easter. And I think I mentioned this to you that, you know, there's been a lot of religions around and there's been competition, but I just don't think there was very often when the principle of Christianity would go out of their way. They would disagree, and sometimes the government's got them into wars. But basically, Christians aren't out there to bash another religion. Matter of fact, I think you know, a good Christian's usually very friendly and thinks that maybe someday, by our example, they might even think about what our beliefs are.
Yeah.
So that was you know something that we have to contend with, because this was really a bad Easter in many ways, because I have several headlines here that you almost read these headlines and say, what are you talking about? But most people know now, you know, that something exists out there that's opposite of anything good and nice. Okay, the first one I'm going to mention is LGBTQR. That's enough. Propaganda. Comes from Zero Hedge, the Tyranny Visibility Day Easter coup. You know, this whole thing that Tyranny Visibility Day, and this is an invention by Biden, you know, and he doesn't miss an act. So they had these, he even has this big edict, you know, to define it when he started all this. But it's so terrible. It means that there's zero respect.
Yeah.
You know, why can't they be neutral, you know? But I think it's harder for people who come all the way from an atheist viewpoint compared to somebody who's devout in another religion, because most religions do have a few suggestions that you ought to be a bit tolerant. But this represents what's going on is there's zero respect, you know, for Christianity, and this was a good opportunity for them to show their disrespect and no dignity whatsoever. And I think the other thing that comes through is to be motivated. I think they're, and this applies to their way they handle Trump, and this is a mix in there, is hatred.
Yeah.
They just hate it. That then they have to go back, and of course all dictators have to destroy the past, and they're working on that, and they're coming up with all sorts of things, you know, to abuse the whole principles that built Western civilization and certainly our country. But the Visibility Act is something that they worked on, and I guess it even existed today too.
Yeah.
They're what are they calling? Not celebrating, but abusing, you know, the holiday.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't celebrate Ramadan or Hanukkah, but I have enormous respect for those holidays.
Yeah.
I would never make fun of them in public, but the Biden administration is different. Now, you could say this is part of the culture wars, but still, it does seem in your face. Put this first one up. We saw this on Zero Hedge. I saw it yesterday as I was getting ready for church. outrage ensues as Biden celebrates Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter. He proclaimed, he released a statement celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter, because usually they're not visible, right? They're invisible, but yesterday they had to be visible. And you're right, it just feels like an assault. But, you know, it went further than that for the Biden White House. They just don't seem to be, you know, ready to leave it alone, because they had their Easter egg hunt, their Easter egg roll on the White House, as they've done for decades and decades. But this time was a little different, too. Put that next one up. They told people explicitly that your Easter egg submission must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, or overtly religious themes. Well, Easter is an overtly religious holiday. It's not an egg holiday. It's not a rabbit holiday. It's a religious holiday. It would have been better, I think, if they had just done nothing.
Yet, I think what this suggests, and others have said this, that they approach us with a religious fervor, you know. And I think in many ways that is the case. You know, I've talked about, you know, when a certain amount of people get together and reject the whole notion of telling the truth doesn't exist. You can't eliminate that motive is to have something to believe in. So yes, they get rid of religious belief, and the dictators do that, and now our culture is doing that, so they have to replace it with something.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the environmentalism or wokeism, and wokeism is sort of a marching of the truth, you know, to pass this message out and build up this hatred, but they have to follow the Marxist premise that you tear down the existing society in order to replace it with their ideal of socialism and authoritarianism. And you see this, and does this mean they're winning once? It's a total victory. I think it's bad, but I would hope a few people woke up yesterday in a positive sense of the term.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine trying to insult so many millions of people on a day that's considered to be a religious holiday.
Yeah, you know, even those who, you know, there are a lot of Christians that practice it, maybe not by identifying, well, I go to church every week,
you know.
But they have an instinct, and they have respect, and I know I've bumped into an atheist now and then. Well, Murray Rothbard was an example.
Yeah.
Murray Rothbard didn't believe in a superior being, but boy, he was very tolerant, you know, of Christianity, and even made the point that Christianity had a lot to the development of Western civilization and certainly our country.
Yeah, sure, there are plenty of Jews and Muslims and atheists and, you know, Hindus, whatever, that have respect. They may not celebrate them, but they have respect because they want respect on their own holidays as well.
Right.
But anyway, you mentioned wokeness. Here's something that was on the article. End Wokeness is a Twitter Twitter handle. And they point out something, if you can put that next one up. There are 145 calendar days celebrating LGBTQ+. I can't read many of them on our show because it's a friendly family show, but there is a Gender Pride Day, Harvey Milk Day, International LGBTQ Day, International Drag Day. Maybe we should celebrate that on the show in July. Anyway, they've got plenty of days, but they got another one now thanks to Joe Biden.
Yes, and they'll be around a while, and they will claim that they're on the road to victory. But I happen to think that, and I was preaching to you, I thought, you know, even if they were just pure politicians, how can they think what they're doing would be benefit to their politicians? They lie about everything else, but here they're doing this, and that's when it suggests a religious fervor.
Yeah,
you know, I'm loyal to my the obedience to the issues, and that's wokeism.
Yeah.
And I want to feel good about it, you know, and then they go along with it all. It's horrible.
So what else bad is going on in Easter? You got a couple of other ones.
In Easter, judge order. Oh yeah, this is terrible. An Easter ruling. Judge orders the release of the border riot migrants who overwhelmed National Guard.
That's nice.
Well, maybe they released those prisoners from January 6th.
No.
They haven't even been charged yet. But and the film is so authentic, you know, about breaking in there, and that was an invasion.
Yeah.
And rather ruthless, but they were held overnight or something, totally released.
Let's put on that clip, actually. We can see a picture of it, see what Dr. Paul's talking about. In Easter ruling, the judge orders a release of the border riot migrants. Here they are breaking down the border wall. So you can break down a wall and invade the country, but you can't walk through an open door into the Capitol, the door being opened by the Capitol Hill police. Then you stay in prison.
Well, that's bad news.
That's
because
bad.
You've encroached upon their empire.
Yeah.
So their empire, they're in, well, you could argue they're in collusion with the invaders.
Yeah.
I mean, sympathetic, and that's horrible, and I don't know when that's going to change. And Donald Jeffries says that this is all going about with amid squatters and lunatics.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
But that's... maybe in reality, lunatics might be mild for some of them.
Yeah.
Because they have different rules.
Well, speaking of lunatics, let's put on the next clip, because lunatic, I think, is too kind a word for this person. This is a U.S. representative from Michigan, Tim Walberg. He suggests destroying Gaza like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And everyone knows what that means. That means using a nuclear weapon and killing millions of people. Representative Tim Walberg has come under fire, only under fire, for saying Gaza should be handled like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, suggesting that he was calling for a nuclear bomb to be dropped on the Strip, which could kill millions. He made those comments at a town hall, and in fact, we have a recording of that. Let's listen to this. It's only 45 seconds long, but this actually did happen. Someone asked him about Gaza, and let's do that first video, that 46-second video. Let's listen to what he had to say, what he was telling. Tell his constituents. Yeah, go back to the start. There we go.
At least spend our money to build a fort for them. Yeah, it's Joe Biden's reason. We need to get humanitarian aid into Gaza. I don't think we should. I don't think any of our aid that goes to Israel to support our greatest ally, arguably maybe in the world, to defeat Hamas and Iran and Russia, and probably North Korea's in there and China too, with them and helping Hamas. We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
And the thing is, I looked him up, Dr. Paul, and this is the worst part of it. He is a Christian pastor. He is a pastor in a church who's calling for the slaughter of millions of people. I think that's so
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, and his explanation was, this was, he didn't use the word, but I'm just kidding. I'm just making an example. I didn't really call for that.
Yeah.
So.
But it also shows, I hate to say it, how dumb many members are. He said, we're going to defeat Hamas, Iran, Russia, North Korea, and China by not giving any aid to the Palestinians, not giving them a meal, just nuking them. That's what we're going to do. Well, let's go to our next clip, because Justin Amash, a good friend of ours, he's running for Congress in Michigan. He's trying to get back in the House as an independent. Put that next one up. He came under heavy criticism from Michigan politicians for his reference, including from Justin Amash, a Palestinian American who has lost family members to Israel's bombing campaign in Gaza. Amash said that Wahlberg's comments evince an utter indifference to human suffering. The people of Gaza are our fellow human beings, many of them children trapped in horrific circumstances beyond their individual control. For him to suggest that hundreds of thousands of innocent Palestinians should be obliterated, including my own relatives, sheltering at an Orthodox Christian church, is reprehensible and indefensible. Justin Amash is absolutely correct. And for a Christian pastor to say such a thing is unbelievable.
It sure is. And I keep wondering, you know, how many, if the Republicans want to talk like that and they want to replace Democrats, what has been achieved?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I get so hesitant about, you know, these bringing the parties together, you know.
Yeah.
And even if they do come together, there's always a way to weasel out of doing things. And we're going to talk about how sometimes they try to, you know, if the people don't want something, they'll sneak it in anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they kicked a guy out of Congress from New York for being a kind of a weirdo, remember? And we thought it was terrible. You can get kicked out of Congress for being a weirdo, but you can't get kicked out of Congress for calling for genocide. I mean, this is the worst thing ever. This is a terrorist. You know, it's awful. Well, our good friend Doug McGregor had a good tweet on it. Let's put this up. Doug McGregor always has his finger on the pulse of what we should be doing as America, which he was our president. Congressman Walberg, Republican of Michigan, wants to stop abortions everywhere, also urges the use of nuclear weapon by the Israelis to end the war on Gaza. Apparently, killing a million Arab men, women, and children is acceptable, but abortion under any circumstance is not. Stalin was right after all, says Doug McGregor. One death is a tragedy. A million deaths, simply a statistic. May divine providence protect Americans from fools like Wahlberg who hold federal office. Well said, Doug.
Yeah, this is so bewildering to me that if the conditions were right, I'd like to pick a guy's brain like his.
Yeah.
If he'd sincerely try to explain it to me, because
yeah.
it makes no sense whatsoever. And so evil. And where does he come from? And he is devout, right?
Yeah, he's a pastor. He's a devout Christian. Unbelievable. Well, let's move on to Speaker Johnson.
Yeah, our friend.
Let's put that, skip the clip of Wahlberg. We don't need to look at his face, but let's go. Here we go. This is something our good friend Norman Singleton sent us to us this morning. Speaker Johnson announces innovations in U.S. aid package for Ukraine. Don't you love that word, innovations?
Yes, what they want to do is they want to loan the money. They want to loan the money to Ukraine because they're such a good place to loan the money. You're sure you're going to get the money. Wonder what interest they'll pay. That is so crazy.
You know what the interest is going to be is land for BlackRock. You know, all that fertile land. We'll take that over when you win.
Yeah, there you go.
I just love that use of the word innovations. What, you know, it's like when they say innovations, grab your wallet because they're about to steal it. Well, let's go to the next one. Here's what he says. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, has said the U.S. aid package for Ukraine will include some important innovations, including the possibility of extending a U.S. loan to Ukraine. That is literally like someone coming to a bank without a job, without any money, without any collateral, with a heavy drug habit, who says, I need $1 million. And the bank's going to say, sure.
Well,
how much do you want? How about $2 million? Take what you want.
But there's another alternative. You know, we on occasion borrow from countries that aren't willing, so we just take it.
Yeah.
It frees their capital for years. You know, like how we've stirred up a little problem in Iran over all these decades. But now people say, well, it's just sitting there. No, we're doing it. Why don't we use those things we stole from Russia?
Yeah,
that'll build up a good step in the right direction, build a good relationship, and try to avoid the next nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, they're desperate for the money. And you're right, they're looking at those seized assets. The problem, quote unquote, for Congress is only a small amount of that is in the U.S. Most of it is actually held by the Netherlands. The Netherlands, which has a worldwide economic footprint, if they steal Russia's money, they're going to have a big problem worldwide with the sovereign debt, with their own, you know, with their own economic interests worldwide.
We'll deal with that when we get to it.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
What a mess.
Well, put the next one on. Here's a quote from Johnson. When it comes, so they're desperate because on the one hand, you know, Trump is trying to get in office by saying not another penny for Ukraine, as we've reported here. But you have the Republican Party and people specifically like Johnson who wants to keep the war going, even though Ukraine is losing and will lose the war. Nothing will change. This money won't change anything. They still want to spend it. You know why? Because it's not for Ukraine. It's for their donors. You know, it's for their donors.
Yeah, the money doesn't even go out of the country.
Yeah,
it doesn't go over there. It goes to some of those people that were your neighbors out there.
That's right.
Those houses that were, you know, poor man's housing.
Yeah.
Oh, I work for this company that builds bombs.
Yeah. They get
you could deserve a big house then.
$1 billion for Lockheed, and then $1 million comes back as a kickback as a campaign contribution. Let's put that up. Here's what Johnson says. But when it comes to the supplemental, we've been working to build that consensus. We've been talking to all members, especially now over the district work period. I hope they have been, because I bet if they're talking to constituents, they're going to hear an earful. When we return, Johnson said, from the work period, we'll be moving a product. What does that mean? Does he think they actually produce something on Capitol Hill? They're going to move a product. I don't know what that might be. But it's going to, I think, have some important innovations. So they might do a loan. That idea has gained some traction. Johnson also mentioned the Repo for Ukrainians Act, which would authorize the U.S. president to seize Russian sovereign assets. We talked about that again. They're desperately trying to keep this war going because war is business for them.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to close down. Okay. So I want to just mention once again the way we started on Transgender Day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was always influenced by the book Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, and I keep seeing so many of them, and I see this Easter was like the madness of crowds. Why do so many people go along with this stuff? And they do this, and they just don't seem to question it at all. And we have this transgender day of visibility, and we have this wokeism, and we have people saying, this is a good day to release the people who invaded our country, yeah. And all kinds of things. But I think it's the fact that people have lost an anchor, and politics is involved. Politics is probably the result of a philosophy that says, well, it's impossible to know the truth, and therefore we don't know if there's a superior being, and therefore we can do what we want. I was reading a little bit on Karl Marx, and the dictators generally, it was Stalin that was raised in a Christian religious yeah. home, and when he was late teens or in his 20s. He became an atheist, and I thought, well, then all of a sudden there has to be a relation to that. Yeah. But because he was a very studious person, a good student,
yeah.
but unfortunately he took it from one category and put it over into this other category, and that is such a waste. And people go what baffles me is why do the people go along with this? And that's sort of the goal that we have here is try to incite people to look at these things before we get into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to wait until we have a war, and we've talked about coming wars 10 or 15 years before they happen. Then they say, how do we get out of Ukraine? We're obligated now. We have a moral obligation. We've been in there a long time, and that means all the people that died in vain. Unfortunately, that's the case, so the sooner you quit it, the better. Yeah. That was one of the arguments they gave me in a debate. Say, well, you can't quit. All the Americans who have already died in these wars would all be in vain. The only way you can make it where people have not died in vain, the people that were involved, is to change our policy to the point where we prohibit that type of activity. The prohibitions to that type of warring activity is already established. We just ignore it. It's in our Constitution, and it's based on a moral issue that we shouldn't be starting wars. And unfortunately, if you look around the world in the last 20, 30 years, especially since World War II, we very much have been involved in all of those. And right today, just think of the propaganda driving the madness of crowds. Since the Ukrainian war started, they always represent in the media. Russia started it by the invasion of eastern Ukraine. At the same time, they say nothing about United States weaponry and the movement and the coup that occurred and endangered Russia. No, they ignore that. So we're looking for people who want to tell the truth, and sometimes it's hard to seek, but that when there is no truth, they fill it with a vacuum, and the vacuum right now is all this wokeism. And unfortunately, it will end badly, but in spite of all that, there are a lot of people. I bet you that there were quite a few wavering Christian or people that are concerned about what's going on and looked at all this nonsense. Hey, that's a little bit over the top, you know, and maybe they will join us in this crusade for liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.